Chapter 27. After Chotek left the conference room, I was left to kick around ideas with senior staff. It was a thoroughly unproductive conversation. "There is no way we can catch that ship," I asked Skippy, fearing I knew the answer. "In this slapped-together bucket of bolts?" "You are kidding me," Skippy scoffed. "Joe, I am amazed every minute goes by that this ship doesn't explode or break into 1,000 pieces. Even when it was fresh out of the shipyard, the Theranin Star Carrier is not capable of matching the acceleration of a Maxalk's ship." "Okay, yeah, I knew that. My question was, what magical Skippy thing can you do?" "Like what?" "Like, I don't know." I tried to think of anything Skippy had done in the past that might be relevant to our current problem. Flattening space-time? No, that wouldn't work here. Or would it? "What about your trick of flattening space-time, like you did when we jumped away from that Theranin destroyer squadron near the star you tore a hole in?"
"I can flatten space-time to a limited extent. Why would that help us now?"
"Because flattening space-time would allow us to cancel the effect of the damping field so we could jump ahead of the Maxalks and hit them."
"No," Skippy chuckled.
"Flattening local space-time would not cancel the effect of a damping field. Joe, damping fields work by preventing formation of a stable wormhole in multiple adjacent space-times. Making a minor tweak here would be useless. Hopefully you have another, more practical idea." I stalled for time because I did not have a more practical idea, or any idea at all. "Hey, how about this? Now that your full awesomeness is back, can you send a signal to the Guardians through another dimension? Tell them to turn off the damping field near us?"
"No," Skippy replied in a voice that implied he could not believe I had asked such a stupid question. "The damping field is a grid covering the entire star system. It is either on or off. If the field is off, then that Maxalk's ship can jump away and we would never catch it. Actually, it's worse than that. Deactivating the field would cause the damping effect to degrade from the outer edge first. Since the ship we are pursuing is closer to the edge than we are, it would be able to jump significantly before we could."
"Scratch that idea," I said hastily. "We can't allow the enemy to jump away at all."
"Well, the field is created by generator stations which surround this system like a bubble. I suppose, theoretically, that if selected generator stations were disabled, the field would be weakened in a local area. That could allow us to jump while preventing the enemy from jumping. Except the enemy would eventually detect the change in damping field coverage and change course, so they enter one of the weakened areas before us."
"Not if we hit them hard enough first." I was excited by that idea. "Hey, could the damping field be weakened behind us, closer to the star? If we could do that, the enemy would have farther to travel to get to a place they could jump from."
"As I am not familiar with this damping field system, any attempt to weaken it in a localized area would be a matter of trial and error, until I gathered enough data to make accurate predictions."
"That's okay, Skippy. I understand. You can start by, like, taking one generator offline. Do that. See what it does to the damping field. Then, there, Joe. No can do."
"Skippy, I know we don't have a lot of time, and the damping field effect probably acts at light speed, right? So after knocking out one generator, it would take hours for the effect to reach us. I'm willing to take that risk. Actually, that gives us time to plan how to attack..."
"Joe! Jeez Louise, will you calm down before you blow a circuit? I did tell you all this is theoretical."
"Ah, crap. Yeah, you did. I thought you were just using an expression."
"No, I was not. Theoretically, a damping field can be weakened in a localized area. However, in this case, discussing how to alter the damping field is a purely academic exercise. I can't do it, Joe. If I attempted to order damping field generators taken offline, the Guardians would never accept that instruction from me. Listen, I haven't bothered your overworked monkey brain with the details, but the Guardians have become increasingly agitated as the Dutchman and now an enemy ship have begun maneuvering in this system. As soon as the enemy set course for the edge of the damping field, the Guardians wanted to obliterate it."
"Oh, hell, Skippy," I threw my hands up in disgust. "Let them do it. That would save us the trouble of trying to kill that ship."
"Gosh, Joe, my tiny little brain never considered a brilliant idea like that." His voice dripped with sarcasm.
"Duh, I did think of that, you moron. There is only one teensy-weensy problem with that idea. I can't actually give orders to the Guardians. They have very strict instructions from their original programmers, and I can't alter those instructions. All I have been able to do is identify us as also being of Elder origin. Once the Guardians accepted me as a fellow Elder construct, they temporarily set aside their instructions in order to avoid causing harm to an authorized Elder activity in this system. Unfortunately, I have no way to tell the Guardians that the Flying Dutchman is authorized and the Max Hulk's ship is not. Crap. It's all or nothing, then. If you release the Guardians, they will destroy the Max Hulk's ship, but they will destroy us also? Correct, Joe, Skippy stated sadly. Hence why I did not mention that possible course of action. You should have, Skippy. We need to know all our options. Sudden violent death is not what I call an option, Joe. It is, Skippy. I looked across the table and caught Chang's eye. You've been following this fruitless conversation? Yes, sir. He looked grim. We need to bring this option to Mr. Chotek. Option? What option? Skippy sputtered. Skippy, we must prevent the Maxolts from taking our secret to the galaxy outside this system. If the only way to accomplish that mission is to sacrifice this ship and crew, then that's what we do. I don't like it either, but you do understand, right? Yes, he said in a low, disgusted voice. Ugh, that is the last time I tell you about a possible course of action that leads to certain death for us. Crap! I just finished gluing together this ugly shitbox of a starship, and now you're going to let someone blow it up? That is not my first choice, Skippy. We may have to do it unless you can think of a better idea. If I had a better idea, I would have told you already. He left the duh unspoken, but we all knew what he meant. I looked at Chang. I'll brief Chotek when I meet with him today at 1600. Wait, Joe, Skippy pleaded. Before you do something fatal to us, promise me something. What? That you will do your best to dream up an incredibly stupid, impractical, idiotic monkey brain idea to pull our asses out of this fire. I thought you hated when a monkey thinks up an idea when you couldn't. I do hate it. It is humiliating beyond belief. However, in this case, I will gladly embrace utter humiliation if it means we survive. Utter humiliation, huh? I winked to Chang, who grinned. If we monkeys think of a way out of this, will you stop singing show tunes?
Ha! No way, Jose! The crew loves my musical stylings. It would be a crime to deprive them of my awesome talent.
Yeah, that was my thought, too. I held up my hands to Major Sims across the CIC and silently mouthed, I tried. The French team was in charge of the galley the next day, which is why we were served a small salad with our scrambled eggs for breakfast. As my shift on the bridge took up the middle of the day, I missed lunch, settling for a sandwich. Lunch was probably delicious, but with our failing chase of the Max Hulk's ship, the mood aboard the Dutchman was funereal, and I didn't have much taste for food. To cheer people up, we had a special meal that night. The main selection was lobster and filet mignon. It was lazy man's lobster, out of the shell, sliced up, and then reassembled in a claw and tail shape. Butter sauce on one side and a sort of blueberry compote thing on the other. The blueberry stuff had flowed over and stained part of the lobster blue.
Blue lobster? Sims whispered to me as she picked up her dinner.
Well, I think it's Smurf and Turf, I whispered back. And she laughed so hard she almost dropped a tray on the floor. Getting Sims to laugh cheered me up more than the special dinner did, and I was able to appreciate the French team's efforts. For dessert, we had several options. I chose a small cannoli. Adams also had a cannoli and sat across the table from me. Eating a cannoli is kind of like eating an Oreo. There are so many ways to do it. I simply crunched into my cannoli from one end. Adams used a spoon to dig out the filling, then stuck a straw in one end and sucked on it to get more of the filling out. I stared at her.
What? She asked defensively. I like the inside part best.
Are you one of these people who takes an Oreo apart, eats the cream filling, then stick the two cookies together? I asked with a grin. She pursed her lips.
I never liked Oreos. Give me a chocolate chip cookie any day.
Maybe I made her uncomfortable about her eating habits because she set the empty cannoli on her plate. She tapped the empty pastry tube with the straw, then picked it up and held it to one eye, looking at me like it was a telescope.
Now I can eat the shell, and it's crunchy without being all mushy in the middle.
Yeah, because it's hollow, like...
An empty cannoli is a hollow tube, a round hole on each end. I dropped my half-eaten cannoli on my plate. It hit the end of my fork, flipping it up and onto the floor.
Sir?
I realized Adams had been talking to me.
You all right, Colonel?
Huh? Yeah, I stood up abruptly, reaching out for the remaining half of the cannoli and picking up a napkin instead, a fact I didn't catch on to until I was out the door into the corridor, and I wondered why I was carrying a napkin. Embarrassed, I tucked it into a pocket, then placed it on the desk when I got to my office.
Hey, Skippy.
Okay, give me a second, Joe.
Damn, this is funny.
What?
I just binge-watched the TV show Frasier, Joe.
Just now? In, like, 1 second?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I stretched it out because I wanted to savor it. Why?
You and I have different ideas of what binging means. Anyway, you liked it?
Yes, I did. I binge-watched Cheers last night, and Frasier is a spin-off, so I gave it a try.
That Frasier is funny. He is such a snobby, arrogant, pompous ass, and he thinks he is so smart. I love seeing him be humiliated. An arrogant, pompous ass who gets humiliated by people he thinks are not as smart as him. You, don't think that reminds you of someone?
Not that I can think of. Why?
Skippy was happily clueless. No reason. I rolled my eyes so hard I almost sprained something.
I tell you what, though. Frasier considers himself to be such an expert connoisseur of high culture, but he thinks the Carrion version of the opera Turandot is definitive, while clearly anyone with half a brain can see that...
I will take your word about that, Skippy.
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
Joe, I heard you in the galley. Smurf and Turf?
That was funny, he chuckled.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I have a question.
Oh, boy. Is this about the crazy idea you just thought up?
How did you know that?
Sometimes I was convinced he could read my mind.
I did not have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure that out. You left half a cannoli on your plate, and you walked away in the middle of a conversation with Sergeant Adams. Also, you've got that distracted moon pie look on your stupid face.
I do not look like a moon pie, Skippy.
I have video.
Let's change the subject, I said quickly. If he had video of me with a stupid moon pie look on my face, I didn't want to know what other videos he had stored in his evil memory.
I have not one, but multiple ideas, and I'll tell them to you in order of increasing craziness, okay?
Ugh, if you think these ideas are crazy, I can only imagine how stupid they must be.
Fine, I will listen and shoot down your ideas one by one.
Deal, I said quickly before he could change his mind.
We need to stop that Max Hulk ship. We can't shoot at it from here because our maser beam would dissipate over that distance, and the Max Hulks would have moved out of the way by the time the maser bolt got there.
It was still weird to think of a maser bolt beam as a thing, like a long, thin spear. Our main cannons created a maser beam that was very roughly a quarter mile in length, because that is how fast light traveled between when the maser exciters started pulsing until they blinked off to recharge for the next shot. So, when we fired, our main cannon fired a beam a quarter mile long and about 50 millimeters in diameter. That bolt of coherent, tightly packed high-energy photons flew through space at the speed of light, which was incredibly slow for space combat. The bolt had no guidance system and could not be steered, and by the time it reached its original target point in space, the enemy ship had almost certainly moved out of the way. A battle group with multiple heavy ships had enough maser cannons that a target area could be saturated, but even then, most of the time, an entire battle group completely missed a target at long range because space is incomprehensibly vast, and target ships have plenty of room to maneuver.
Correct, Joe. It would be a complete waste of time and energy for us to shoot at the Max Hulks from this distance. The Max Hulks have much better weapons and sensors, and even they haven't bothered to shoot at us.
I thought back to my last shift on the bridge. Skippy had programmed random evasive patterns into the navigation system to avoid providing the Max Hulks with a predictable target. All our pilots needed to do was engage various options in the autopilot.
You are, sure of that, right?
They haven't shot at us?
Joe, considering how banged up our sensors are,
If the Maxalts fired a maser beam at us and missed by more than 2,000 kilometers, there is no way we would ever know a bolt flew right by us. Skippy had explained that passing maser bolts could be detected by the backscatter of the beam impacting stray hydrogen atoms of the solar wind. We have not detected any maser or other directed energy fire incoming. I cannot guarantee the Maxalts have not fired a volley of sophisticated hypervelocity missiles at us. Their technology is so far beyond the Flying Dutchman that we might not detect a cloud of missiles coasting at us until it was too late. When they got close enough, they would fire their engines up again and race in faster than our point defense systems could probably react. You are a fountain of good news today there, Skippy, I complained, knowing I was being unfair to him. I report the facts, Joe. You decide whether to be depressed about it or not. Yeah, sorry about that. My awesomeness has improved our stealth field beyond the capability of the Theranon, so even Maxalt's missiles may have difficulty getting a target lock on the Flying Dutchman if they are flying toward us at a high speed. After missing us, they would need to brake to zero relative velocity, then accelerate to match us, and search with active sensors to pinpoint our location. That for sure has not happened. Therefore, I conclude the Maxalts have not bothered to launch missiles at us. They may not have any missiles, or they may be saving them for a greater threat. Most likely, they got a good look at this stapled-together piece of crap we're flying and determined that we are no threat at all to them. If I was commanding that Maxalt ship, my one and only priority would be to get to the edge of the damping field before the Guardians changed their mind. Joe, those Maxalts have got to be peeing in their pants, worrying that at any second the Guardians will reactivate and squash their ship like an overripe tomato.
Well, now that is a heartwarming image, Skippy. I'd love to see those smug kiddies get crushed by the Guardians. Except we would get crushed first if the Guardians decided to act, huh? Most likely, yes. All righty, then. For my least crazy idea, how about this? Can you create a micro-wormhole, and we load one end of it into a missile? We launch the missile at the Maxalts, and when it gets close enough, we shoot a maser through the wormhole. That would be a no, Joe. Soon as those rotten kitties detected our targeting scans, they would alter course radically and our maser would be firing on empty space. This is not the shoot-look-shoot scenario we used with the giant maser projectors on Paradise. This is shoot or look. One is useless without the other. Unless we got super-mega-ultra-lucky with a shot, and I wouldn't count on that. You used up your lifetime supply of luck getting your boots tied correctly this morning. I bit back a reply because I had somehow managed to lace one boot to the other that morning. That's what happened when you are concentrating on thinking up a way out of an impossible situation rather than what your fingers are trying to do. Before I could answer, he continued. The whole shoot or look question is moot anyway, Joe. No way could our crappy missiles get close enough to do anything useful. The Maxalts would certainly detect and destroy our missiles as soon as I used a sensor pulse for targeting, much too far away for our maser to do any good. Yeah, I was afraid of that. OMG, Skippy gasped in exasperation. Then why did you just waste the last week of my freaking life asking me stupid questions? It wasn't a week, Skippy. More like 2 minutes. 3 minutes in meat sack time, Joe. 9 days in magical Skippy time. Damn! While you were blah, blah, blahing on, I kept having to set a reminder to check back to see if you had finally gotten to the freaking point. It was like sitting through endless performances of waiting for Godot back to back, and Godot never shows up.
Who's Godot?
Who is... Oh, this is hopeless. Totally hopeless. Joe, you are completely, shamefully ignorant of human culture. Think of it as waiting in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Oh, man, I get it now. Waiting for something that never happens.
Exactly.
You know what is the worst thing about standing in line at the DMV? When you lose at clerk roulette.
Roulette? His voice expressed surprise. I was not aware gambling was allowed at DMV facilities, although people spend a lot of time there with nothing to do, so no, Skippy, it's not an official thing. It's like you're waiting in line, and there are three clerks behind the counter. A sweaty, fat guy, a lady who looks like she last enjoyed life when Truman was president, and a cute girl with a great smile. You're inching forward in the line, hoping you get the cute girl. The guy in front of you gets to the head of the line, and the sweaty fat guy calls him, so you're thinking, score, right? You got 50-50 odds now, and the guy at the cute girl's counter is just finishing up. Plus,
The grouchy lady has a customer with some problem that is going to take freaking forever because he doesn't have ID or filled out the wrong form or something like that. The cute girl looks up at you and smiles because she assumes you will be her next customer. Just as you're lifting a foot to step forward, the asshole at the cute girl's counter decides to stay there and chatter up for a while. And the grouchy lady sends her customer away to find his ID, so you're stuck with the wicked witch of the DMV, and she knows you were praying not to get stuck with her, so she is gonna make your life miserable. Sure enough, she finds some bitchy reason to send you to the back of the line. By the time you get to the head of the line again, the cute girl is on break, and you're pissed off because you're sure she's out banging the jerk who was chatting her up. This time, you get the fat guy, and you realize the reason he's sweating is he has the flu and he sneezes all over you. At about that time, you are hating life and thinking it would just be easier to give up driving and walk everywhere. Really, the DMV should merge with a funeral home, because people die of old age waiting in line there. At least if the DMV hosted funerals, you could shuffle past the casket and pay your respects while you're waiting.
Joe?
Yeah? How do you meet Zach's manage to get anything done when you have so many distractions? Biological life is way, way too complicated.
I don't make the rules, Skippy. I just get stuck playing the game.
Hey, what were we talking about? You said something about God?
Godo. And don't ask who Godo is. You can wiki it later. We were talking about firing missiles at that Max Hulk ship.
Oh, yeah. You told me our missiles couldn't get close enough to do anything useful.
Correct.
Okay, that wasn't even my craziest idea anyway. We could send out missiles carrying micro-wormholes and use them only to passively collect targeting data. They could do that, right? The missiles could accelerate away from us, then release the micro-wormholes to coast ahead of them. Would the enemy be able to detect the micro-wormholes incoming? I'm hoping they would be distracted by shooting at our discarded missiles.
Let me think about that.
Joe, your ideas are so bizarrely off the wall, I can't answer immediately. The answer is, it is unlikely the enemy would detect the micro-wormholes on their own, especially if I use them only for passive sensor input.
Outstanding.
Okay, then it is possible to use two of the micro-wormholes for targeting and send the third one to crash into their ship?
You want to use a micro-wormhole as a weapon?
Skippy whistled.
That is impressive thinking outside the box, Joe.
Yeah, I was proud of myself right then.
What I did was,
you should put your thinking back inside the box, Joe. Put it in there, glue the lid shut, then drop the box in a really deep, deep ocean. Or into a star.
Listen, Dum-Dum, you would never have wasted my time if you had any knowledge of the physics involved in micro-wormholes. They are tiny, Joe, like really tiny. One could pass right through the enemy ship and the only result would be a super-thin air leak. Also, my ability to steer a micro-wormhole is extremely limited. The enemy ship is maneuvering evasively to avoid us hitting them with a maser beam. I could not move the micro-wormhole quickly enough to hit the enemy. Finally, you can't use a micro-wormhole as a weapon because the event horizon on the far end would shake apart and collapse when it hit the resonance of the enemy's defense shields.
Crap. Well, it was worth a shot asking.
That also wasn't my craziest idea anyway.
Seriously, you have wasted my time telling me stupid ideas that you thought would not work anyway?
Yeah.
Joe, could you please tell me why you tortured me with your inane blah blah blah?
Were you trying to distract me while Major Sims sets up a surprise party for my birthday or something?
No, Skippy, I was not distracting you or wasting your time. I was hoping one of those ideas would work, because otherwise we might be forced to use the really incredibly crazy idea I haven't told you yet.
Oh, no, Skippy said slowly. Just how stupid, crazy, and impractical is this idea you're afraid to tell me?
Well, you are very much not going to like this.
Joe, of all the monkey brain ideas you ever had, this is without question the craziest. The laws of physics are shaking their heads at you because they can't believe what an astoundingly stupid idea this is. You do realize we might tear a rift in space-time and destroy this ship without damaging the Max Hulks at all?
I do realize that, Skippy, because you have explained it to me like 50 times already. Give it a rest, please.
I can't give it a rest, Joe.
Over millions of years, designers of jump drives from various species, going all the way back to the Elders, have built safety mechanisms into their jump drive controller systems, specifically to prevent any misguided idiot from doing what you want me to do deliberately. So, on one side of the equation, we have the combined intelligence, experience, and collective wisdom of every sentient star-faring species in the history of this galaxy. On the other side is one ignorant monkey who says, "Duh, me have idea." Please, for the love of God, tell me why I should ignore every instinct I have programmed into my logic circuits and trust a hairless ape.
Because, Skippy, monkeys kick ass.
He was silent for a moment, an eternity in Skippy time. Joe, incredibly, I cannot argue with that twisted logic.
You'll do it then?
I persuaded you to ignore your logic?
Yes, he sighed.
I will do it, but not because your moronic babbling persuaded me. I'm doing this because if this crazy idea of yours fails, it is going to be such a spectacular failure, such an idiotic, forehead-slappingly stupid disaster, that I just can't resist witnessing this.
Skippy, I am touched by your faith in me.
You are touched in the head, maybe. It's too late to back out now, anyway. We already committed our only 3 useful missiles to this lunatic venture and tore our jump drive apart. Really, if this fails, I have to blame myself for listening to a monkey in the first place.
Oh, good, Skippy. I am glad to hear you are assigning blame where it belongs.
What? I did not... Oh, forget it. Micro wormholes are approaching most likely search area. Remote jump drive capacitor still at 96% charge. Beginning passive grid scan for the Maxalt ship. After Skippy agreed to try my idea after much protesting, arguing back and forth, and finally his collapsing into utter despair because he couldn't believe he had sunk so low as to take advice about physics from a monkey, we launched our 3 best missiles. The heavy warheads had been removed from the missiles, along with their active sensors and targeting systems. Inside each missile, Skippy had created one end of a micro wormhole that weighed almost 0. Without all the extra mass of warhead and sensors, those missiles accelerated like a bat out of hell. They used up all their fuel in one continuous burn. Then, each missile released its micro wormhole to coast on ahead, while the missiles used their remaining thruster fuel to slow down slightly and move away from the micro wormholes. The micro wormholes were virtually invisible until Skippy began looking through them to locate the Maxalt ship, and we expected the Maxalts would be distracted by pinpointing and blasting our 3 discarded missiles. That part of the plan worked beautifully. The cluster of micro-wormholes bracketed the area where Skippy expected to find the Maxalt ship. By the time the micro-wormholes arrived, the original targeting data was hours old. Using only passive sensors to detect a stealth Maxalt starship was a difficult task, even for the undeniable magnificence of Skippy, considering that the event horizon of a micro-wormhole was so tiny it was like peering through a pinhole. I've got 2 possible locations for the ship, Joe. One is close to an optimal location, which, given our rotten luck, means the enemy ship probably isn't there. The other potential target is close to the edge of our sensor coverage, which could be a problem. Well, how can you be sure?
At this distance, with this equipment, searching for an advanced technology Maxalt ship, I can't be sure, Skippy admitted. Their stealth gear is not the best. It's ancient and not in good condition, but it's still good enough to hide from most sensors. I'm having to look for very faint spatial distortions where something passed in front of a star. That could be a stealthed ship, or it could be a loose cloud of pebbles from some space rock.
Okay, I think I have got it.
Yes, I'm fairly certain now. The target at the optimal location is the enemy ship. Damn, I am good. Sometimes I amaze myself, and this is one of those times. Just in time, too. Our missiles are approaching the target zone. We should get a reaction any second now. Tell the crew to hang on and have a change of underwear ready. This is going to happen fast, and it's going to be rough.
If the enemy ship was in fact the potential target near the edge of our sensor coverage, they might have the confidence to ignore our trio of missiles. Those missiles were coming in fast, and would have extreme difficulty changing course to intercept the Maxalt ship in that location. Even though the Maxalts could not know our missiles were dead hulks without fuel, they likely would remain silent and let our missiles glide on by uselessly into interstellar space. But if the Maxalt ship was the sensor blip near the optimal point of our sensor coverage, then those 3 rotten kitties had to see 3 unknown missiles coming in from 3 sides. As far as they knew, those three missiles would turn at any second to hit their ship. Turn, go to full power, and jink side to side to throw off targeting sensors. The best time for the Max Hulks to hit those missiles would be now.
Yes! They took the bait, Joe. All three missiles just got vaporized. I now know where that ship is, within 3,000 kilometers. Outstanding, Skippy. I pumped a fist in the air. Were you able to detect them firing mazes?
No, Joe. I wasn't able to see anything except for our missiles becoming clouds of particles at the same moment.
That puzzled me.
Then how do you know where that ship is?
Trust the awesomeness, Joe. To maximize their chance of destroying all three missiles, the Max Hulks would plan for their weapons fire to reach those three targets at the exact same time. I triangulated back to where the source of that weapons fire must be, and presto. The Max Hulks are no longer hidden. If they have any brain cells, they are now maneuvering away to throw off any attempt to backtrace. But they can't hide from my magnificence. Switching to active sensors now. I will jump when I'm ready. You monkeys only need to sit back and bask in the glow of my awesomeness. Or, you know, maybe bask in the glow of an 800 gigaton explosion that will destroy the Flying Dutchman like I warned you.
Do your thing, your magnificent awesomeness, I said with a nervous squeak. The need for a change of underwear was becoming more than a theoretical thing for me. From where the micro wormholes are now, it will take several seconds to get a return on active sensors, and as soon as the Max Hulks feel themselves getting swept by an active ping, they will try to get the hell out of there. What that means is as soon as all three micro wormholes have solid returns, I am punching the jump drive.
Joe, as this may be the last time we ever talk, I want to say something profound.
Like what?
Hold my beer.